the book of Jude as we continue in our consideration here of this book. It's a small book, one chapter, 25 verses, but just packed and from the standpoint of outline and those things that are mentioned and associated with it, just packed full of things, history, and the brother making a relative, you know, connection relative to the day at hand. And so it's just we're going through here and just trying to understand better about the different references that he has. He's making a contrast between believers and unbelievers. He's making a warning about those that would creep in unawares. And that happens. It happened in that day, and it can happen in this day. I know of churches where men have come in and would abide with the church for a while, maybe even be, you know, give testimony of salvation, would be baptized by church, but then rise up within that church about the, you know, foundational, fundamental doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek to lead away those who aren't grounded and weak in the faith, and to cause turmoil and havoc. It can happen in our day, and so our brother, the Lord, through our brother, is warning us about these kind of things, and we need to be on guard, and we can look on at the fruit of each one and one another, and that we might be on guard and be that we might be about manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and might be standing in the doctrine of the Lord. He says in verse number 3 that the faith was once delivered to the saints, and we've got that, and that's all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we need to contend for it. We need to struggle for it. It may cost us, but remember, nothing about this life is eternal, but everything about the truth and the Lord is eternal. And so we need to remember that. We need help to remember that. I need to remember that. You need to remember that. We need to remember that together as a church. Before I forget it, thank you to everyone that brought stuff for the fellowship dinner. It was delicious. It was great. Thank you. Thank you. If you didn't stay, I tell you what, stay. It's a good time. Good time of fellowship and eating together. And everybody's sleepy, and I've got my work cut out for me. But remember, that pew won't do you as near as good as your recliner and your sofa at home will do. So stay with me, okay? Let's take a look here, verse number 11. Woe unto them, these that speak evil, those things that they know not. They know naturally as brute beasts, and those things that corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, verse number 11 of Jude, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And we saw that. That was doubting of God's word, disbelief of the Lord, a rebellious, self-indulgent way, just what they want to do, what Cain wanted to do. He wanted to change the way of the Lord and pursue rather his way. And so we took a look at that last time. And then we looked, see this, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam. And we want to take a look at this fellow Balaam here this afternoon. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter. And as I mentioned, if you're here and you're able to read, you need to get your Bible and turn over to these passages and get used to turning into the Scriptures and the services that you might know what the Word of God says. It's God's Word to you, okay? What God says to you, okay? This is Him talking to you. Look at this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number, let's back up, verse number 12. But these as natural brute beasts, making to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. And it's kind of a parallel point and reference between Jude and 2 Peter. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption, shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, that which cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, mentioned that, okay, earlier as I started the message, that's part of what they like to do. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, and so on. And so we see a reference here to Balaam and his love of, how's it worded here, love the wages, the payday of unrighteousness. Let's turn over here to chapter 2 of Revelation. We'll take a look at these New Testament references, and then we'll go see about the history of this fellow. In chapter 2 of Revelation, the Lord here speaking to John, that he might carry this message to the churches in Asia Minor. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 14, speaking to the church in Pergamos, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." Okay, we'll come back to at the end of this consideration of Balaam, we'll see what that's talking about. Okay, let's listen to what he said. What it says here, "who taught Balak to cast," that's a king, "to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." So hang on to that verse. We're going to see how the Old Testament manifests that and shows that to be so with this man, Balaam. I wonder about Balaam, as you can turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 22. We'll take a look over here, look in this historical account, okay? There are other Old Testament references to this man, but this is the historical account of when Israel ran into this man, Balaam. I've wondered about this man, Balaam, for several years, and I'll just pose this to you as we take a look at his life, what we're told about his life. There are these priests, okay? And it's different to be a priest of the Lord or the priest of some other god than it is to be a prophet, okay? Brother Mark just finished up his study about Brother Jonah, and Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, okay? No indication that he was a priest, I don't believe, from the scriptures. But he was given to preach the word of God and represent the Lord. But then in the Old Testament scriptures, we have some references to some priests that are not of the line of Aaron, okay? We know that Aaron and of the tribe of Levi, it was the priestly tribe amongst Israel. And that's where all the priests were to come from. But then we have reference to some other priests, even before, one before the time that even Levi lived, and then another after the time that Levi lived. And they are, it's very clear that they're the priests of God. And what we find about these priests is that they're offering sacrifices, okay? They have the directive and authority from God, seemingly, to we understand from the scriptures, from what we look at the scriptures and we try to understand it, they've got the authority to offer sacrifices. They may prophesy, okay? And do, and tell the word of God, but they also offer sacrifices, okay? Remember this, okay? I trust you know about these. In Genesis chapter 4, verse number 18, Genesis 14, 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God," okay? The Lord Jesus is not a priest after the order of Levi or after the order of Aaron. But the Hebrews tells us, and it's explained to us, that he's after the order of Melchizedek. No beginning, no end. We're not told of, he was a real man. He lived indeed. But we're not told about his birth. We're not told about his death. And we know he's not connected with Aaron. Okay? And he is a priest. The scripture bears it clearly that he's the priest of the Most High God. Abraham comes to him after the slaughter of the kings. He's the priest of Salem, which is Jerusalem, which what will become Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus is after that order, an endless order, and he is a high priest forever. Okay, that's the showing about Melchizedek. We believe and understand that he was a man. He did die. But what we're told about him in the scriptures is that no beginning, no end, no association with Israel. And that's the way Jesus is. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Once he stepped into the priesthood, he's there. He's forever our high priest. He makes intercession for us. And so there's a priest of the Lord. The scripture makes it very clear. And then in Exodus chapter 3, we see about this other man. Okay, this is after the patriarchs. This is after Israel has had all these, after the patriarchs and Jacob and his sons went down into Egypt, 70 souls that went down into Egypt. And then the Lord has delivered Israel from Egypt. And we see about this man, Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay? Now it doesn't say in this particular passage that Jethro is a priest of the Lord, but I believe that he is. Okay? It seems that he is. When he engages Moses, anytime we see about Jethro, when he engages Moses, it's always to the positive, isn't it? Now he let him marry his daughter, which that can be either here or there. I'm just trying to make a bad joke. You've got to understand about Zipporah. That was a tough thing for Moses, and she wouldn't receive the way of the Lord well, so that was a hard thing for him. But Jethro's advice to Moses was always good. I dare say always godly. And he is the priest of Midian, and he's not associated with Israel in any way. And then we think about in this, and I'm just thinking out loud, if you will, if you allow me, think about these priests that are in the scripture. Then we see that of Job, okay? Less mentioned about Job, but in Job chapter 1, verse number 5, it says about Job, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, speaking of his children, that Job sent and sanctified them, speaking of his children, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, of his children. And for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. We know Job was a man of renown and had been a help to many and was certainly a witness of the Lord in his day. And so some men that it says they're priests, another man that it says he is a priest, but not that of God, but we see about his life that it certainly seems to line up with the Lord. We consider about Job, wondering if it was so with him. Then we come to this man, Balaam. How is it with Balaam? Oh, Brother Jim, Balaam can't be a priest of the Lord because he did so treacherously. Oh, yeah. Like Jonah. Well, Jonah didn't do treacherously, but he was certainly low on faith. And as our brother pointed out this morning, on self-control. He was faithful like Samson was. Well, Samson was faithful at the end, but it cost him his eyes and it cost him his life. And he threw away the good blessing of God, didn't he? Had it all over him, ever an opportunity to be a great judge in Israel. And he was great from the standpoint of renown and the things that he did, but how much better could have Samson done if he would have been obedient to the Lord? So we've got examples, Lot. He wasn't that great of a witness for the Lord, but he was saved. So we do have this thing about Balaam. What we're going to find in this consideration of Balaam is that what he does gets him killed. And you know what can be with you and me as the children of the Lord? We can get so foul and so bad that the Lord might take us out of here. We need to know that. The Lord told it to the church at Corinth. Because of your lack of reckoning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, discerning his body, some of you are sick. Some of you are weak, and there's been some that are asleep. They're dead. And that's not talking about sleeping in the services. It's talking about dying. And so we know that the Lord can deal with us that way. So I ask you this question. Is Balaam a priest of the Lord? And his infamy is brought up thousands of years later, or hundreds of years later in the Scripture, and then thousands of years later in his witness to us here today. We read there in Jude, "Woe unto them, they've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward." The buck, the stuff, the gold that shines and the jewels that shine and glimmer brightly, prestige even. He went after that rather than going after the way of the Lord. And so I ask you about Balaam. Let's consider about him. In Numbers chapter 22, we read, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab." You remember who Moab is? We got to understand, we've got to read and eat up the Scripture to know who Moab is. Moab is one of Lot's sons/grandsons. Yeah? He had Moab by one of his daughters. A terrible thing. His brother Ammon, that from which came Ammon also, is at hand. And so they're there in the plains of Moab. If my memory serves me right, that's down kind of southeast of Israel, of Judea, and on the was there south of the Dead Sea. Idumea is sometimes referred to. You also have Edom down in that region too, and Moab and Ammon is, I think, up there on that right hand side of the Jordan River, and there north of Esau or Edom. And so that's where they're at. And pitched in the plains of Moab on this side, Jordan by Jericho. Okay, so to the east side across from Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done unto the Amorites, okay, to his brother. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Well, just like Jericho, Rahab said, everybody here melted. No strength. All the men here lost their wits about them. There's no defense against you with what the Lord did in Egypt for you and the word of that's come to us, and then this other that you've done and part of this working here. And Moab, verse number 4, said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed." This is the key. "And he whom thou cursest is cursed." And so, this king, he knows that this man has got some kind of power. And he knows that he is there. And he says, "Who you bless is blessed, and whom you curse is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, verse 7, departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, you notice that? They come, they've got their reward, and God comes and speaks to Balaam that night. It's known he has a witness and a testimony that who he blesses is blessed, who he curses is cursed. And the Lord speaks to him that night. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. At the onset, he says what's right and is obedient, isn't he? And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went into Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam, so these are guys that are higher up the chain, you know, closer to Balak. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee to very great honor. So they brought what they did the first time, but now there's more. A greater promotion. More bait. A greater payment. Okay? I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. We'll write you a blank, you've got a blank check. Right? Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. So here we have Balaam. He claims the Lord my God, doesn't he? Okay? He says, understand, I can't do any more than what he says. I can't say any different than what he says. Now therefore I pray you, verse 19, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Did the Lord change his mind? Did the Lord change his mind? You ever asked the Lord for something and you got the answer but didn't like the answer and so you kept asking him until you got the answer that you wanted? We say, and I think there was even a song written, to thank the Lord for unanswered prayers. You know, we need to listen to the Lord. The Lord said first, what? Don't go. And if Balaam would have never went, wouldn't he have been blessed of the Lord? But instead, what Balaam seemingly, and the Lord knows what's going on, and the Lord knows the desire of his heart, and the Scripture is going to tell us what it's going to tell us. Balaam's there's the edge of obedience and disobedience, and Balaam is standing over here, well away from it. And the Lord said, don't go. But then they send another round to him. And the Lord says, if they call you, go. Let's read on. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, verse 20. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. We don't know if they called or not, do we? And God's anger, verse 22, was kindled because he went. Had the Lord changed his mind? Has the Lord changed his mind? I don't think so. You know, isn't it something how there, in spite of the word of the Lord and the great power that's manifested in the Scripture about God, isn't it amazing how there are some people that just in the face of that just make a big joke out of it? Isn't that something how people do that? They just think it's light. They think they put on a face of and put on a face of righteousness and that everything's okay and all that. But faced up with the Word of God and the greatness of God and the message that the Lord sends through His messengers and through His preachers and through His pastors, in the light of that, in the face of that, they just make a big joke out of it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how people do that? Thinking that God's not watching. Thinking that the Lord's not really real. That the Lord's house and the Lord's people and the Lord's word, it's just not that serious. It's just something to make a big joke out of. Isn't that something how some people think that? It's terrible, isn't it? People should be ashamed when they do so. They should. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against Balaam, against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Isn't that something? Balaam had had that donkey. He had that donkey for some time. And that donkey had never done him wrong. Always did him well. Until this day. And Balaam, all Balaam had on his mind and on his bent was to go with these men. That's all he was thinking about. He was blind to what he was going towards, wasn't he? You know, that's, we get caught up in sin, and we get caught up in self, we get caught up in our way. That's what can happen to us. We can just get blind to what's really going on. He seems to be the Lord's man. Otherwise, why would the Lord deal with him? Shouldn't it be an appropriate thought of those that claim to be the Lord's, those that claim to be the children of the Lord and that behave unruly and behave in a sinful way and make a mock of the way of the Lord and make a mock of the way of the Lord's services and the word of the Lord and the man of the Lord, and the Lord never does anything to them? That'd be a fearful place to be, wouldn't it? With someone that could see. But they make a mock of things, and they make a lightness of the things of the Lord, or they're so blind about their own way that they just don't see. And so the ass turned one way to avoid the angel, and then the ass turned another way to avoid the angel. And then, of all things, the donkey spoke to him. The Lord opened up the mouth of the donkey, being rebuked by a donkey. Boy, that's a long way away from the Lord, isn't it? Being rebuked by an ass. And rehearse, as we read, how good he had been and how faithful he had been. And then the Lord opened the man's eyes, and he was that close to death and didn't even know it. What do you think about Balaam? Seems like he belongs to the Lord, doesn't it to you? Doesn't it to you? Seems like to me. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't waste time on him. We who are saved, thank the Lord that he'll rebuke us and he'll chastise us. Amen. But beware if there be anyone that claims to be the Lord's and the Lord has no chastening touch upon you, no chastening touch upon the conscience, no chastening touch upon your life. Make a mock, make a claim of Christ that's just hollow in words and not in deed, and there's no touch of the Lord upon you. Beware. Beware. Don't make light of the things of God. What did the Lord say? Don't go. They came again, and Balaam's heart was to go, and the Lord said, go. Oh, was it the Lord's fault that he sent the angel? The angel said, your way has been perverse before me. And do you remember how what the angel said? The angel says, well, after Balaam saw that he just missed getting killed. Now listen to this. When he just missed being killed, and the Lord opened his eyes, what did the angel say? Go ahead and go with him. But you only say what I tell you to say. You know what? This may have been the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's read that again. Verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I'll go back. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. We're going to stop right here for this afternoon, and we'll pick it up here next time. Character studies in the Scripture. Maybe you don't know about Balaam, and this is the first time for you learning about him. That'll be good. That'll be under good understanding. It'll help us to understand what the brother is talking about over there in the book of Jude. Otherwise, the mention of that, going after the reward of Balaam, if you don't know about Balaam's life, doesn't mean anything to you, does it? But we'll take a look at this man, and sad to say, overall, the way of a man that we shouldn't follow after, but a witness to us nonetheless.